And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, it's time again. Yes, it's time again for another volume of secrets. News information documented that the control mainstream media just don't want you to know about. But we delight in telling you these things. We love to shed some light on some dark secrets that are hidden from all of us. At least they think they're hidden. But, you know, that really is, well, it's my job. It's been my job here for, I don't know, going on, let's see, Jerry, 26 years, I think. You know, shortly after I left the Air Force, actually, let's see, I left the Air Force 82, and I guess I began this ministry, oh, 6, 7 years later, something like that. I can't recall. Wrote a number, you know, of just regular, I guess you call them regular books before that, on high technology and all kinds of things. Enjoyed myself writing books and being ahead of a company called Technology Trends, sort of a futuristic consulting company. But I'm glad I'm in this ministry now. It's what God has called me to do. And we want to talk about some secrets. And we want to start right off with some things that, well, everybody knows that if you watch TV, you know the Olympics are going on over in London. You know that in Aurora, Colorado, a demented young man killed and wounded and injured so many people. We want to talk about that just a little bit. Chick-fil-A, that's something interesting going on there. And much more on secrets. Oh, all kinds of stuff you'll find out. We'll talk maybe about Mitt Romney a little bit, just in briefly passing, but I think it'll be interesting to you. What happened to the Penn State University president? He was fired because of the Sandusky child pedophilia case. He tried to cover it up to protect the university and all, and ended up getting fired. But turns out that he's been given a new job now. We'll want to talk about that. A lot of people ask me about Doomsday, December 21, 2012. The world is going to end, according to the Mayan calendar. We'll be talking about that. Hey, Bank of America, I'm going to give you a good reason why you don't want to really have a bank account there. Then we'll talk about, I hope I'll get to this, Harry Truman. He's sort of my favorite whipping boy president. You know, Harry was really basically owned by the Jews until his last couple of years in office, and he decided to stand up to them, and they decided to destroy him. And he was forced to leave office. But his daughter, Margaret Truman, wrote a very interesting book about her life at the White House and everything. And one of them that she wrote in 1972, we'll talk about that. Interesting situation with Truman, the Jews, and the nation of Israel. Hey, did you know there's one man in the United States, one man, one person, who has the authority to put your name on a hit list? That's right. This gentleman, let's just call him a gentleman, although I don't think he is one, has the authority to sign you up to be killed, a license to kill you and me. He just puts your name on a list, and the next thing you know, drones are over your house, over your job, tracking your every move, and finally they kill you. And it's all neatly packaged. It's perfectly legitimate, perfectly legal. That's not constitutional, but Since when has either Congress, our president, or the federal judges been concerned about the U.S. Constitution? Well, I just can't really remember when. Can you? They certainly weren't when Judge Roberts, a court, stuffed the Obamacare horror down our throats. That's unconstitutional, but they didn't care. And they don't care. The psychopaths in Washington, D.C. Well, talk about psychopaths. You know, I really didn't want to spend much time on the Olympics. I have to say, to me, they're extremely boring. Now, I know guys are, you know, glued to their TV sets, and gals are too nowadays, and oh, they just go all, I don't know what, fidgety and shaky watching the Olympics. All you have to know about the Olympics, really, and I'm sure it's, you know, the wonderful athletes and all that. Hey, one thing I found interesting, the IRS always tries to get its share. And they say that a gold medal by an Olympics athlete really has very little real gold in it. Nevertheless, the IRS has valued it very, very high. You know, I guess it is of a high value, although I don't know why it would be important to have a Olympic gold medal for anyone unless they're the ones that won it. Then it has great sentimental value, and you can show it to all your friends. You can put it in a frame on your wall and tell everybody, look, I won an Olympic gold medal. And, you know, they deserve it. They work very hard to be the best athlete in whatever category that they're in athletics and sport. I'm not against people getting, you know, gold medals or silver or whatever, bronze, for winning these events. But the IRS has said now that every American who wins a gold medal will owe $8,196 in taxes for its value. Now, I don't really understand that. For one thing, gifts are not taxable under the IRS code. But I guess the IRS would say, well, these people work for the medal. So it's not a gift. Yes, it's an award, but it's not a gift. They had to work for it. So they were like employees. So they have to pay for the medal, at least the taxes on it. Over $8,000. So you work for years, and then you go for your country and yourself, of course. You win a gold medal, whether it's in gymnastics or basketball or track and field or swimming. And then the old IRS tax man comes up and says, pay me $8,196, the tax bill on the medal that you got. Reminds me, you know, the guy that caught the home run that was hit by the, you know, who's it, Mark McGwire, and then Sammy Sosa, all those big baseball players, and they knock their final home run, or not their final, but the one that breaks the record, and whoever catches it out in the stands, you know, they get to keep it, and it's worth, you know, who knows, hundreds of thousands. Then the IRS comes calling and says, you caught that ball, now you got to pay taxes on it. Well, if a man or woman who caught the ball doesn't have money, they got to sell the ball then to pay the taxes. I don't know. They're just, the IRS, as I've said many times, if they could put some kind of meter down your throat, they would charge you and me for how much air we breathe. But let's get back to the Olympic ceremony. You know, the IRS is pretty satanic themselves. Let's just say that. But so was the Olympic ceremony. In fact, one article here I'm reading now from a website called thetruthisnow.com said that the Olympic ceremony was vile, inhumane, a satanic ritual, and that one of the symbolic things that showed it was satanic were the rings of Saturn around the fire of Saturn. Well, I was sort of intrigued by that, and so I didn't really watch the ceremony, so I went to YouTube online and, you know, to watch it belatedly. Then I got pictures of it, and sure enough, it's the most hideous thing It was almost like they were advertising the devil and the grim reaper and death. What's that got to do with the Olympics? It's supposed to celebrate life and athletic success and good health. But the Lord of the Rings, Saturn or Satan, the grim reaper came up ready to kill. I mean, this was in the opening ceremonies, and it looked like they were serpentine figures traversing the circle on the stage. There was the point within the circle, which is the Luciferian point of Freemasonry. The whole thing was a satanic extravaganza. And this fire god's, fire devil ceremony relates to, you know, the god Moloch. We can read about him in the book of Amos and the book of Acts. Moloch, Baal, he was called. Satan, in other words. He also had names like Remphan and Kiun, according to the book of Acts, chapter 6 and 7. Back in Babylon, he was known as Nimrod. The Romans call him Saturn. And later, that became Satan. He was called Saturn, this fire god, or the devil, because the astrologers believed that he resided, or at least he was represented, by the sixth, get that number six, sixth planet from the sun, which is Saturn. And of course, Saturn has these rings around it. So we come to the rings. And the circle logo of the Olympics. And there's always a fire, the fire of Saturn and these rings of Saturn. And so there was a great fire that was set and worshiped as virtually an idol at the Olympic Games. It all was grand, of course. Just an amazing spectacle. And all of it sort of had a lot to do with the satanic calendar. Because the last week of July, when this went on in London, correlates with the witches' high holy days. The witches and Satanists' high holy days. Which ends in, I think it's July the 27th, with the grand climax, a day for sacrifice. Sacrificing human beings, that is. So anyway, the Olympic ceremony, a devil extravaganza, a devil festival. And by the way, these were called the Rothschild Olympics. Lord Rothschild over in England was really secretly honored at many, secret satanic parties, including sex orgies and such, all over London and cities throughout England. The Illuminati elite carried out sacrifices, sexual orgies throughout England. Some of them dedicated to Lord Rothschild and his progeny. Well, by the way, leading up to all this, and if you don't believe it's the Rothschild thing, look at the official logo, not of just the Olympics, which is those, I think it's five circles interlocked, but of this particular Olympics. It's look at the official logo, and it clearly spells out Zion. They're like construction blocks that are turned various ways. I mean, any kid can say, oh yeah, that spells out the word Zion. What does Zion or Zionism have to do with the Olympics? Well, it was a Rothschild Olympics. And the Jews are basically telling you, the satanic rabbis are saying to you, there is going to come a time very soon, a grand climax of death, suffering, misery, hatred spewed out, when Gentiles everywhere will be massacred by we Jews. Just like Purim, P-U-R-I-M. The great festival day of the Jews, when they celebrate the massacre of their so-called enemies, their adversaries. And every Gentile is an adversary or an enemy to the Jews. Well, if we want to really talk about Satanists and what Satanists have done, all we really have turned to is this James Holmes. The guy there in Aurora, Colorado, who went to that theater for the initial, you know, grand opening, you might say, of the movie, The Dark Knight Rises, the Batman movie, the newest Batman movie. Hey, all of those movies, I went to one to see what it was all about years and years ago. It was about 20 years ago, and it was so dark and foreboding. And, yeah, it's a little bit of comic aspect to it, but it was full of satanic ceremony and imagery and deviltry. And I got out of the theater, and I was with my wife, and we went with two Christian friends, and we went over and had a cup of coffee or a Coke, a little restaurant across the street from the theater, and we talked for about an hour about the satanic elements of the movie. And we could see them everywhere. But everybody else came out like they were just overjoyed, exuberant, thrilled at the movie. But I felt a dark foreboding. I felt evil in that theater. And I determined I wasn't going to watch any more Batman movies, even though I went to see it to expose it. And now it leads up to this one, where all these people were killed, were shot, were injured by this man who called himself the Joker, James Holmes. Now, I want to tell you something the media don't tell you, but it seems that more and more of these serial killers and mass murderers are Jews. Remember, the Jews only make up 2% of the population of the United States, but James Holmes was a Jew. Now, just down the street from Aurora sits Columbine High School, also there in Colorado. And the two mass killers there, their names, as you know, were Dylan and Klebold. They were Jews also. So now we have the Colorado trio. You know, Dylan, Klebold, what's their full names? I can't even remember it now. Dylan Harris and, yeah, Eric Harris, Dylan Klebold, yeah. They were Jews. Now we find out James Holmes was a Jew. In fact, he worked at one of those Jewish summer camps for youth. He was a youth counselor. They only allow Jews to be one of those. That's where they teach the Jews to love Israel over America, probably. They do it at every other camp. Why wouldn't they do it at this Jewish youth camp? They teach them that the Jews are God's chosen people, superior to all other races. And at some of these camps, they teach them to kill others. They teach them about firearms, martial arts training. Sort of like a boot camp for future Jewish murderers and killers. A lot of those camps. I'd have to check out this particular one, but we know that he worked at that Jewish camp. I saw his mother on TV, and she had Jew written all over, you might say, in her looks, but she actually is Jewish. So Holmes was a Jew. And I have no doubt that he was a worshiper of Satan. Now, many people have been able to tie his family into various DARPA, that is the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, the DARPA program. It may well be he was a sort of a follow-on to the MK Ultra, what we would call the Manchurian Candidate. And if we looked into that, we would probably find out that, yes, he's a trained killer. They took over his brain, his mind. Now, somebody wrote to me, and they're absolutely right. Lanny wrote to me and said, when wearing his own brown hair before he dyed it red, it is obvious that Holmes had one of those horned haircuts. I live in Iowa, says Lanny, and have seen males once in a while with this type of haircut. There are two obvious tufts or specks of hair on each side of the head. I always took this to mean the persons were Satanist of a type, probably anti-Christian. Yeah, well, she's right. Or he. I don't know if Lanny is a man or a woman. Thank you, Lanny, for writing that. Yeah, if you look at that smirking photograph of him with his normal brownish a brunette hair, you will see him, and the hair looks like he made it to have two small little horns, one on each side of the hair coming down toward the forehead. Yeah, there's no doubt this guy was a Satanist. That's why he was attracted. They say, what's that hideous video game? World of Warcraft. Yeah, World of Warcraft. They say he was infatuated with that game. He immersed himself in that game. Well, we go from James Holmes, the Satanist, the Jewish murderer, with ties in his family to the Defense Department and to their psychological operations program to show that he no doubt was a Manchurian candidate. By the way, why would they do that? Why would the government be interested in having somebody like James Holmes go into a theater and murder all those people? Well, you know, the cry went out immediately. Stop those guns. Get rid of the Second Amendment. Don't even pay attention to the Second Amendment. Take people's guns. More laws. More restrictions. Even the Supreme Court Judge Scalia, who is known as a conservative, said this will probably mean more restrictions for gun owners. Now, when you tie that in with a Fast and Furious program, where the United States government secretly gave away thousands, we don't even really know how many, of everything from machine guns, 50 caliber assault machine guns, rifles, and all kinds of things, to the Mexican drug cartels, so they could kill not only thousands of Mexican citizens, but come into the United States and kill our border guards and our citizens, our ranchers and farmers and so forth on the border, whose land was being violated. And anyone who tried to stop them on the cities along the border, they were trying to stop the drug pushers. The cartel then had all these guns. And when they started using them, our government could stand up, and all the filthy congressmen in Washington who so hate our Constitution, the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear firearms, and they could say, we've got to do something about this. Look at all these people getting killed by these Mexican drug cartels. And they're buying the guns, getting the guns from the American gun dealers, which now we find out is a flat out lie. They're being handed the guns free of charge by the U.S. government. Our government then is fomenting discard, destabilization, murders in order to take away the rights of the Second Amendment from us. That's the meaning of the Fast and Furious program, and it's why Attorney General Eric Holder, even though he was censored by Congress, laughs up his sleeve at the congressman. He's not going to give out all those documents that Congressman, the chairman, Daryl Issa wants. No. Why should he? They're not going to make him. They're not going to impeach him. The Democrats are all for the Fast and Furious program. And guess what? Even George W. Bush was involved in its planning and promotion. He and Dick Cheney and their crummy attorney generals, you know, like Alberto Gonzalez. Yes, Alberto. Alberto, the one that was for torture of Americans. The one that was for amnesty for millions of illegal aliens. He and old Georgie Porgy and Dickie Cheney, all of them worked together to set up the Fast and Furious program. And then Obama and Holder got in office and said, this is pretty neat. Let's keep this program and even escalate it. Friends, have you ever seen a 440 relay, 400 meter relay, a mile relay? You notice how the best of the runners, the best of the track stars, they hand off the baton so very smoothly and neatly. And one is running full speed and he just hands off, and the other one is already cranked up and begun to churn his legs and dig his feet into the ash and the cinders, the track there. And the baton just goes from one to the other very smoothly. And the race continues. This is what the Illuminati elite do. It goes neatly from, you know, the old Bush to Bill Clinton. From Bill Clinton to George Porgy W. from Georgie Porgy W to Barack Obama. And next, it'll probably be Mitt Romney. But the baton, which is the agenda of the Satanist, the Illuminati elite, is still the same baton. Nothing changes. And Americans every 4 years say, we've got to have change. We've got to have hope. Let's kick out the Republicans and put in the Democrats. No, they didn't do good. They did the same as Republicans. Let's kick out the Democrats and put back in the Republicans. It goes on and on and on, but it never changes. Okay, let's go to Chick-fil-A. I like Chick-fil-A. I've always liked Chick-fil-A. Now I like them more. Now that the president has stood up as a Christian and said that legalizing same-sex marriage is inviting God's judgment against America. Wow. That was Dan Cathy, the president and CEO of the popular fast food restaurant. Now, they're about the only ones that I know of that close on Sundays. Now, I know Sunday may not even be, you know, God's special day, and many people are Sabbath keepers. But the point is, Dan Cathy is trying to please God. And, you know, he's welcome to his First Amendment rights, isn't he? If he wants to say that legalizing same-sex marriage, homosexual marriage, is inviting God's judgment on this land, that's his right. I mean, we have millions of liberals and commies and homosexual weirdos out there saying, we have a right to marry. We have a right, you know, all this baloney. If they have the right to go out there and boost and pump up gay marriage and kiss in public and hold hands in public and do the dirtiest things in public, and say whatever they want to about how God loves all the gays and God made them this way. And, you know, I've even heard homosexuals claim that their homosexuality is a gift from God and that they wouldn't want it any other way. I bet someday they'll wish they had it some other way. But in any case, Dan Cathy is right. And I'm tired of these people trying to punish Christians and others who simply speak their minds and speak what all of us should have, which is our First Amendment rights to free speech. Folks, Tex Mars is one that for 20 some odd years, they've tried to shut this ministry down. They've sent the IRS out after me. They've sent the FBI out after me. No doubt the Israeli Mossad has sent 28 different or more Jewish organizations and private detectives out to try to find some kind of dirt on me. And you know, I'm still here. I'm like the ever ready bunny. Just keep walking along. Just keep doing God's work. Praise God for Dan Cathy. I'm going to be eating a whole lot more Chick-fil-A in coming months and years. And I hope you will too. Make them an award winner. You see, the gays were going to try to cut them off. And Rahm Emanuel, the cruel, Mr. Ballerina Boy, if you know what I mean, and watch out if you ever take a shower with him. I don't take a shower with anybody but myself nowadays. When I was a young boy, we used to do that. You know, whatever all boys did in high school, gym, and all that kind of stuff. I think now you can't trust anybody, it seems like. After that Sandusky case, no. But let me tell you something, friends. Gays can speak their mind all they want to until God shuts them up someday. And so can we. Thank God for Chick-fil-A. By the way, the chicken's good on its own. And Wanda, she likes those lemonades they make. They taste like real lemonades. All right. We're going to be back in just a minute. We got a fabulous second half of the program. You've got to stay tuned. We're going to be talking about some things. Well, you just hadn't heard about these things. You got to stay tuned. I'm Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy, another volume of secrets. Stay with us because we're going to be right back with, wow, some inside stuff. It's hot. Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. It's my latest book. 432 pages. It's big like an encyclopedic book should be. Has documentation of, well, intelligence type materials that it'll shake you when you read this book. Amazing things. Eye-opening revelations and forbidden knowledge about Israel, the Jews, Zionism, and the Rothschilds. You know, it's been interesting, Jerry. Jerry's my sidekick here in the studio, taking care of all the technical stuff. And I was amazed and sort of delighted and, you know, sort of a humorous thing to me that this book has been a bestseller in the category of Judaism at Amazon.com for the last 6 months. Or, you know, I think it's been 6 months since we put the book out. But I go in there, you know, I check. And for a while, it was in the top five. In fact, I think it was like number two or number three in the nation of Judaism, of Jewish books. Now, in other words, everybody who is anybody in Judaism is reading my book. Now, I love to think these rabbis are just there, and boy, smoke and fire are coming out their nostrils and their ears as they're reading Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star by Tex Mars. But, you know, I haven't got, I got a few letters from Jews said I'm going to hell or something. And they do know hell. If they know anything, they know hell. But they're not going to find me down there. I have somebody lifting me up from hell. His name is Jesus Christ. They don't have him. They better worry about hell for sure. I'm not worried at all. Not as long as I please God. In fact, he just cleaned all my sins up. How did he do it? Well, it's a miracle. Happened when I was 16. And you know, the one thing that's nice about Jesus, it says in the New Testament, John said that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And that the Holy Spirit is not with us. But if we confess our sins, then God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, you know, when I was 16 years old, I knew I needed a Savior. I needed God. I needed Jesus in my heart. And that night when I went to bed, I got on my knees beside my bed and I prayed and tears came to my eyes because I knew that Jesus had accepted me. I never said, Jesus, I deserve to go to heaven. I said, Jesus, I'm going to hell. I know I'm going to hell unless you help me, unless you save me, unless you cleanse me and wash my sins away. And I begged Jesus to do that. And, you know, he is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. I've had people over the years that wrote to us here at the ministry or called me, and I remember one particularly sad case. I'm not going to mention the name, but he's a well-known, let's say, a scientist. And he'd written a terrific book. Intelligent, probably way more intelligent than Tex Morris could ever be. But he said to me, Tex, I want to ask you a question. I said, okay. He says, why does God hate me? I said, I hate you. He loves you. The Bible says he loves the whole world. He loves everybody in it. He loves you personally. He knows you. He counts the hairs on your head. He knows everything about you. And he still loves you. He said, no, some people have told me that I can ask Jesus for forgiveness, but I've tried and it didn't work. And every time I try to get close to God, bad things happen. I said, what's the devil? The devil wants to keep you from God. So what? Let him rage. Let him get angry. Let him try to, you know, punish you. Turn to Jesus anyway. You'll be blessed. Listen, the Bible says, blessed are you when men and even the devil persecute you. Tell the devil, get away from me. I'm going to believe in Jesus, not you. You have no authority over me. Only Jesus can take care of my eternal destiny. He said, well, I've tried to get saved, but I can't. You know, I knew right away what the man's problem was. He didn't believe in Jesus. that he didn't really believe. He wanted to believe, but he didn't believe. He didn't have faith. He was a doubting Thomas. He didn't believe that Jesus could cleanse him. He said, I think I have too much sin in my life. I said, well, have you ever killed anybody? Well, no. Have you ever embezzled people and sold them thousands of dollars like these bankers do? No. But, you know, I've got the normal amount of sins. Yeah, I said, I don't want to hear them. I'm not your confessor father. You know, this, I'm not the Catholic Church. Confess them to Jesus and ask him to forgive you. He said, I have already, but I don't feel cleansed. I said, well, you know what your feelings are don't mean anything. Not really. Our hearts can betray us. But the Bible, the Word of God, doesn't betray you. Some people say, you know, I asked Jesus for forgiveness, but I just didn't feel that he did it. Really? Well, maybe you didn't believe. Maybe you didn't have faith. But if you have faith, believe me, there's nothing he can't do. Don't limit God. Believe God. Have faith. And I told this friend of mine, Jesus loves you. And you ask him again today. Pray. And say, Lord, I don't know what happened in the past. I'm all mixed up about it. But right now, today, I believe in you. And repent of your sins. Tell Jesus and mean it. If you do mean it, mean it. And he'll forgive you. And you'll be a new man. You'll be a new creature in God. You'll be born again in faith. John chapter 3, verse 3. He said, I don't know. I'm tired of trying. I said, no, don't be tired of trying. Don't. And you've got to have faith and believe. Do you believe? He said, well, and then he began to hedge a little bit. I'm not sure I believe. You know, blah, blah, blah. And I could see that was his problem. He didn't believe. He was doubting that Jesus had the authority, that Jesus would save him. He thought his sins were greater than God could heal. And sometimes later, many months later, I found out that he committed suicide. He killed himself. Listen to me, friend out there. That's the devil talking to you, saying, kill yourself. You're better off. No, you're not better off. You don't kill yourself. Jesus put you on this earth. He's given you a calling. You have a mission. And you fulfill that mission. And you'll be a happy man or woman. Don't take your own life. Don't think there's nothing to live for. There's everything to live for. You'll be a whole person, made new. Everything will be thrown away in the sea of forgetfulness, as they say. You can be made new in Jesus Christ. And why did I bring this up? I don't know. I was just led to today. I believe there's somebody out there listening to this program today that needs Jesus. My friends, listen to me. In the Bible is a story of a man who was told that all he had to do was believe in Jesus. And you know what he cried out? He said, I believe. Lord, help my unbelief. He cried out for more faith. He cried out for more belief. Do you think that Jesus didn't hear that? Oh, yes, he did. Oh, yes. If you say, Tex, I don't have enough faith. All right. I accept that. I don't have a formula for how to have faith. I don't have a book to give you, but I can tell you this. You can pray about that. Say, Jesus, I don't have enough faith. Help. Give me more faith, and he'll give it to you. He wants you to call on him. All right, conspiracy of the six bonus star. $25 at $5 shipping and handling, a total of $30. That'll take care of all the shipping and the postal things and all that. We'll wing it on its way to you, and I believe it'll be a blessing to you because it's got incredible information in it. Conspiracy of the six bonus star by Tex Mars. Write to us to get the book. $30 now. We'll cover everything. We're at Power of Prophecy or Tex Mars. Either one. 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Hey, you can order the book Conspiracy of the Six Bonus Star by going to our website, powerofprophecy.com. You can go to conspiracyworld.com. We have the books there. Click on, it'll take you to the right place to order the book. You can phone us toll free during the work week, Monday through Friday, 8 to 5:30 Central. Phone us at our number, which is toll free. Won't cost you a cent. 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. And always remember, when you order a book from us, or an audio tape, CD, or a DVD, or even a love gift, if you don't order anything, we're going to put you on our mailing list. You're going to get our free newsletter, Power Prophecy, every month for 6 full months. And hey, if I'm feeling good about it, and I like you, and I do love most people, and I suspect I love you, dear listener, you'll probably get it for more than 6 months. Who knows? I'm not sure. Sometimes we just let things go for a while here. Now, if you can't afford it, write to me and say, I cannot afford the newsletter. I can't afford to order something. And we might just give you a subscription anyway. And here's the nice thing. If you got access to a computer, the internet, maybe through your local library, if you don't own one, you can go there and read the newsletter right online, powerofprophecy.com. And there you'll be able to watch videos and read, I don't know, probably hundreds of articles. You could just OD on articles. Someday I expect to get a letter that said, Dear Tex, you know, my son, my daughter, my mother, you know, they died after a 48-day marathon of reading your articles and watching your videos on powerofprophecy.com. Well, no, I hope that doesn't happen. I wouldn't be happy about that. You know, somebody once told me that they went to a New Age church, New Age movement, and everybody was so lovey-dovey there. They run around hugging everybody's necks. I said, yeah, they do. They love you to death at those places. But Jesus Christ will love you to life. Makes a big difference, doesn't it? Okay, let's return to our regular program. We're talking about secrets. Well, Condi Rice admits it. Condi Rice, Condoleezza Rice, former U.S. Secretary of State. She says the world changed in the wake of the 9/11 attacks. This is according to the Times of Israel. And she said the relationship between the United States and Israel changed, grew stronger. Interestingly, she said, we went to Israel and they told us how to set up our homeland security. Israel is where the United States learned to do homeland security. Isn't that interesting? And she goes on to explain it all. Our homeland security is based on what the Jews told us to do. Was there any doubt now who runs America? By the way, another Israeli publication is quite interesting. You know, my newsletter this month, Power Prophecy Newsletter for August 2012, exposes the Jewish covert agents. They look to be civilians. They could be a chef, a teacher, a policeman, a military man, a congressman, a banker, but they're called Sayanim, S-A-Y-A-N-I-M, Israeli spies who are doing harm, who are damaging the United States. According to Admiral Bobby Inman, former deputy director of the CIA, these Israeli spies living in the United States, working for the Mossad and for other Israeli secret agencies, such as the Shin Bet, have damaged the United States more than the intelligence agents of all the other countries on the earth combined. And they are the gravest threat to our national security. They're called the Sayanim. Could be your neighbor. You think, well, he just works as a hotel clerk. But he's a Sayanim. When he's asked to do a favor for the government of Israel, he'll do it. You know why? He's an Israel firster. They serve Israel. They're guardians of Israel, not the United States. Jewish communist spies Julius and Ethel Rosenberg. Remember them back in the early 50s? Their name was on front page news. These Jews were Sayanim spies. World Jewry were their masters. And they were ordered to steal our atomic bomb secrets and give them to Soviet communist spies. They put all of our lives at jeopardy. And these Jewish spies, the Sionim, Julius and Ethel Rosenberg, were found guilty of stealing atomic bomb secrets and passing them on to Soviet Russia, and they died in the electric chair. Now, friends, I believe there are many Sionim working today. Senator Joseph Lieberman, Senator John McCain, Senator Charles Schumer, House Majority Leader Eric Cantor, Governor Sarah Palin, Chicago Mayor Rahm the Cruel Ballerina Boy Emanuel, CFR Kingpin Henry Kissinger, Fox News mogul Rupert Murdoch, Mitt Romney, Barack Obama. You don't have to be a Jew to be an Israeli agent. I believe there are thousands of pastors and leaders of Baptist, Pentecostal, and other church ministries and churches who are secretly working as Sionim for the Jewish Mossad. There's former House Speaker Newt Gingrich, Minnesota Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, California Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi, New York's Koch brothers. I believe Texas Governor Rick Perry has been richly rewarded as a Sionim. Former Pennsylvania Senator Rick Santorum. In serving the Jews, Rick Santorum even brought a Jewish rabbi from New Jersey in to run his office for him. There's Fed Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke. He does what the Jewish bankers say. He's a part of the Sionim. 700 Club host Pat Robertson. He was richly rewarded with TV and radio stations by the Jews for his efforts on behalf of the Sionim, the Jewish spy system. Then, of course, there's the Democratic Party chairwoman, Deborah Wasserman Schultz. I like to say that, Wasserman Schultz. Now, many of the Jewish Sionim are in the media of America. Boy, they're thick. They're thick as thieves or rats. Some people say, Tex, the Jews don't really control the media. I'm sure they don't. Yeah, well, you don't know what you're talking about. In fact, according to the Times of Israel, okay, now that's the Times of Israel, in a new article dated July 1, 2012, the author says Jews, the name of the article, is Jews Do Control the Media. He says, we Jews are a funny breed. We love to brag about every Jewish actor. We brag about Jewish authors, Jewish politicians, Jewish directors, Jewish Zionists. That's just how we roll, he says. But it's interesting. When we hear somebody spout stuff like the Jews control the media, or the Jews control Washington, suddenly, says this writer in the Times of Israel, who is Jewish, of course, suddenly we're up in arms. We create huge campaigns to take these people down. We do what we can to put them out of work. We publish articles denying that we control the media. We've created entire organizations that exist just to tell everyone that the Jews don't control nothing. No, we say, we don't control the media. No, 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 we swear. We're just like everybody else. Then the writer of this article goes on to say, but that's not true. We know it's not true. We do control the media. We do control Washington, D.C. Why do we want to deny it? And he goes on to explain why the Jews have a tendency to lie about such things. And they accuse people of being anti-Semites for bringing up the truth. Yes, Jews do control the media. And the writer of this article says, the time has come. We no longer have to change our names. We no longer have to blend into society like chameleons. We own a whole freaking country, Israel. We can be proud of who we are and aware of our huge responsibility and opportunity. In other words, he says, it's okay to admit we control the media. It's okay to say we Jews control Washington, D.C. Let's admit it. It gives us great, great opportunity. I bet it does. Well, we move from the Jews do controlling the media to another subject. I call it the nanny state. The nanny state. They're everywhere, aren't they? The nanny state. Well, up in Oregon, a man was sentenced to 30 days in jail And oh, what a crime he committed. It's absolutely horrible. This man should be ashamed of himself. You know what he did? He collected rainwater on his own property. You can't do that in Oregon, the state of Oregon. Let me read you this from CNSnews.com. A rural Oregon man was sentenced Wednesday to 30 days in jail and $1,500 in fines because he used his own property to collect and use rainwater. Gary Harrington told the new CNS News, "The government is just bullying me. They've gotten to be big bullies, and if you just lay over and die and give up, that just makes them bigger bullies. We as Americans," said Mr. Harrington, "need to stand on our constitutional rights, on our rights as a citizen, and hang tough. This is a good country," he said. "We will prevail." Well, he's going to be spending some time in the Jackson County Jail up there in Oregon to think it over. But I hope he gets out of jail and collects more rainwater. I hope every citizen in Oregon who owns property will this very week get him something. I don't care if it's a dish pan. I don't care if it's some kind of a pail of some kind or a pot from your kitchen. I don't care. Dig a little hole in the ground. Then write a letter to the governor of your state and say, "I want you to know that I'm collecting rainwater on my property. In fact, some of it fell on my grass today. Some of it fell on some flowers. Come and get me. Take me to jail. I'm a criminal. I'm collecting rainwater." Aren't you tired of the nanny state, folks? You people up in Oregon, are you going to let these filthy, dirty commie bureaucrats tell you what to do? I'm pretty steamed about this. A man sentenced to 30 days in jail for collecting rainwater on his own property. According to the Oregon officials, they say landowners don't own, the people that own the land don't own the air and the rain. The people do. Now get this. The people who own their own property don't own the air that they breathe there. They don't own the rain that falls there. The people do. Now, this is a little catch-22. The people don't own it. The people do. Now, what they mean by people is just as the Soviet Union and the Red Chinese explain it. It's the People's Republic of China. But when they say people, they don't mean that at all. It's the Communist Party. It's the elite. The nanny state is run by a bunch of Big Brother animal farm elitists. They are the people. Now, when this man went to court to be tried for this crime, I don't know whether he had a jury trial or a judge, but I'm sure the district attorney or whatever read the indictment against him. And the case was probably the people of Oregon versus Gary Harrington. That's the way they do it in court, you know. It's the people versus the individual. I say that's baloney. It's not the people. Not always. Now, if the guy's has committed a murder or a crime or burglarized somebody or raped somebody, yeah, every citizen in Oregon should want that dude put away or maybe sent to the gas chamber. I sort of like that last idea myself. If he's done a murder or a rape, gas chamber is a nice place for him. Hope he enjoys his last 5 minutes of life. Now, listen to me, folks. But if all he did was collect rainwater, that's his right. All he did was breathe on his own land, good for him. And if there was an endangered bug or cockroach or whatever running around his land, he ought to have the right to go over and stomp it. Well, actually, I don't think you should waste a good cockroach. Put him in a little jar, take him out to the fishing pond, and use him as fishing bait. Especially if they're endangered. I understand the fish bite a lot better if they know the bug is endangered. Just a rumor I've heard. By the way, Penn State President Graham Spanier was at the helm of Penn State when they covered up the sex abuse scandal. Well, now he's lost that job after former FBI Director Louis Free said these people, you know, disgracefully covered up the crimes of former assistant football coach Jerry Sandusky. And Joe Paterno, by the way, Old Paul, as they call him, he also helped to cover up the crime or crimes of these pedophiles. Now, I think this Graham Spanier ought to be ashamed of himself, but he's not hurting at all, evidently. Now he's working at a new job. Would you like to know what it is, folks? Let me tell you. He's working for the U.S. government in what is called a national security role. Now, they won't tell us what it is. It's either for Homeland Security or the Defense Department. Now, that's great. A cover-up artist who covered up pedophile behavior, and now they've given him a high-level government job in national security area. You know what I think? I think what was going on with Coach Sandusky and Coach Paterno and that university there at Penn State goes much higher than them. That's why the D.A. Gricar is missing, is no doubt dead. They killed even the D.A. that was investigating this. Folks, this goes high up. I believe it involves senators, governors. I believe this involves billionaires. I believe these rich elitists of the state of Pennsylvania and 49 other states throughout this union are having orgies with little children. I know they are. They're Satanist. And yes, they cover up these things. And I think Coach Sandusky, who, as my old dad used to say, should be put under the jail rather than in it. In fact, I don't think he deserves to live after what he did to all his kids for somewhat over 30 years. But I'll tell you what, he's not the only one. They've covered it all up. He's a scapegoat, in fact. They should start with him, punish Sandusky, and yes, take the statue down that they made of Joe Paterno and burn it in a hot, flaming fire. Maybe dedicate the fire to Moloch, their god. Yeah. Isn't this amazing? Your taxpayer dollars are now paying the salary of the Penn State University president who covered up these horrible pedophile child molestation cases. That just frosts me. Doesn't it you? By the way, one final note. A thanks to the Iranians. What for? Hey, did you hear about this? Even CNN was finally forced to report it. Iranian sailors helped scare off armed pilots who attacked an American cargo ship in the Gulf of Oman. And Iran not only went after, the Iranian Navy went after these pirates, captured them, and 13 pirates have now been imprisoned by Iran who did attack an American cargo ship. You know what? Where's our courtesy in this? The Iranians saved an American cargo ship in international waters from being seized by pirates. And the Americans have not even thanked the Iranians. Well, thank you, Mr. Akhnamenejad. I want to thank you on behalf of all of America. Our president doesn't have the niceness or the courtesy or the whatever it takes, diplomacy, to thank you. Your Iranian sailors, your Iranian Navy put their lives at jeopardy for the American crew and passengers of an American ship. Thank you, Iran, for doing that. Well, this has been Tex Mars. We've had a volume of secrets, things that, well, you just won't hear anywhere else. It's been great being with you. Remember, folks, there is a king, there is a throne, and there is a name of the one who sits on it. His name is a name above all others, according to the book of Philippians, the letter to the Philippians in the New Testament. His name is Jesus. I'm Tex Mars, and my prayer is that you'll tune in each week during this same time. Tune in and discover the power of prophecy.